39, and we'll talk about fathers. And I don't care how long I keep you. If you got to go, well, you just got to go. But we're not coming back tonight, so. Thank you, Jermaine. But, yeah, well, that's the job. So we're going to do it. Psalms 139, beginning in verse 1. And would you say, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks for his word this morning, forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we bless you, and we worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it, for the power of it, the goodness of it. Praise God. Praise God. Want to commend the choir. Did a great job down at the camp. Got good reports on that. And many thanks from Brother Joel Mitchell and those people that were responsible for the platform that night. Did a wonderful job. And I understand what a sacrifice it is to take time and go on a trip like that in the middle of a work week. And I commend you. And I thank you. Be in prayer for our church family. This has begun the summer travel season, and we'll have families traveling and on vacation and here and there and yon every week. So just pray for them. They'll have a wonderful time, and that they have safe journeys and good time and family building with their families. Praise God. And then we'll pray for you while you're gone off on yours. And that's a deal we'll make here. Praise God. Everyone say, my pervasive heavenly Father. He's everywhere. Yeah, he's always there. You can't shake him. You can't hide from him. He said, Adam, what are you doing? And Adam said, I'm hiding from you. Adam, where are you? And God knows everything, so that's a rhetorical question. That's a question you already know the answer. Like, did you clean your room? You know they didn't. But you're asking the question because they need to know they didn't. Adam, where are you? God knows where he is, but Adam needs to know where he is. Because you can't get better till you know where you are. You can't come out of the pig pen until you know you're in the pig pen. The prodigal, the crucial verse is, and he came to himself. He woke up to the fact that he was in a pig pen. He thought he was at a party. He was in the low life. He thought he was living the good life. Oh, that's what sin will do. That's what ego will do. That's what the delusion will do. You can be walking away from God and wind up in a pig pen and not even know you're there till you come to yourself. Praise God. But God always knows where you are. Somebody say praise God. I'm so glad that there was a day when he knew where I was, even when I didn't realize where I was. I'm not going to bore you with it, but before I had the Holy Ghost, I had dreams that were instigated by God. I didn't know what to do with them, but after I got the Holy Ghost, it was like, whoa, that was God. His hand was on me. He was dogging my trail. He was following me. He was talking to me. I was so deluded I couldn't tell. We sing a song that says he was there all the time. Can anybody relate to that? Before you came and knew, God was there all the time. I want you to know, even when you're hiding, he knows where you are. Even when you're running, he knows where you are. In the scriptures, the business of Father is a multi-purpose application and has many different meanings. Father can reveal ancestry. Father can be used in a conversation about legitimacy. Father is a term that can mean, because we all have an earthly father, biological father, maybe a surrogate adoptive father, maybe somebody that's just picked you up and been a father to you when you didn't have one. I want us to entertain the book of John chapter 8 for just a moment or two here. John chapter 8 and verses 18 and 19. Jesus is having a set with the Pharisees, and this is where he proclaims himself to be the I am, and they want to stone him for it. But as we're building toward that in verse 18 of John chapter 8, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. When Jesus is talking about the Father, he's talking about the Spirit of the living God that's in him. It don't have any question about it, though. Jesus is that everlasting Father. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, talking about the little baby that would be born at Bethlehem. The Word of God calls him Wonderful Counselor. Everybody say the Mighty God. And the Everlasting Father. So the little baby that's born at Bethlehem is the Everlasting Father. You say, well, how does that work? Well, the flesh is the wrapper, but the Father is the Spirit that is on the inside. The Christ is the shell, but the God of creation is on the inside. The Son of God is the body that was germinating and moving and growing in Mary's womb. But the spark of life and the spirit that was in him, the consciousness that was looking out through those human eyes, that consciousness, that spirit was the everlasting Father. Well, praise God. And on another occasion, Jesus would say, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Well, praise God. So Jesus talks about the Father, and he's talking about the Spirit, and he's delineating between the Spirit and the flesh. When he's talking about the flesh, he'll say the Son of Man. All right, verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Now, what they're doing here, they're making snide remarks, because the rumor is that Jesus was a bastard. The rumor was that Mary had him out of wedlock. That Mary was pregnant before Joseph married her. I mean, that got out. It's all over the world now. Has been for quite a while, but it was out in those days. And they were alluding to that, making snide remarks. Where is your dad? He's talking about his Father. He's talking about the Spirit of the living God. And they're alluding to the fact that he doesn't even have a father. That he's an illegitimate child, a bastard child. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Now, I'm using biblical language here. Don't get your ears all hot and bothered. All right? Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you'd have known the Father also." Later he would tell Philip, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And when he sent him out to baptize, he said, "Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Gave them a complex riddle, a command to obey. And every one of them to the man, when they went out to baptize, they all baptized in Jesus' name because they knew that Jesus was the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the revealed name of God for this day. Praise God. Who's the Father? Jesus. Who's the Son? Jesus. Who's the Creator? Jesus. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Who's the Light? Jesus. He's the healer. He's the Redeemer. He's the Restorer. He's the altogether lovely. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Whatever you want to ascribe to him, he is that. He is the one that told Moses, "I am that I am." Just means he's anything he wants to be and everything you need him to be. Praise God. Verse 33 in the same chapter of John. They answered him and they said, now they're trying to gain legitimacy here. They answered him and said, "We be Abraham's seed." They said, "Abraham's our father." Who's your father? "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free?" And they're not getting it. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." And they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So they're gigging him again. And their conflict centers around paternity. He's talking to them about a heavenly father. They're questioning his earthly birth. And he's telling them that you're not legitimate sons of Abraham. They're having a fight about paternity, about the father, about what it means, about who it is, and about who's legitimate based on fatherhood. Well, praise God. And they said, "We have one father, even God," verse 41. Verse 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." It's getting dirty, folks. He said, you think you're of Abraham? God's able to raise up of these rocks over here, children to Abraham. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." So you see the beauty and the clarity of the word of God just trying to define the idea of father. Father can be natural paternity. Father can be a spiritual connection with God. Father, your father can be the devil. Because he wasn't just talking to hear his head rattle. He said, you are like the devil. Which is bad news for us because we're in the same dark condition they are without God in our lives. Your father may have been George Jones, but your father is really the devil if you don't know God. And see that. That's hard to get your brain around. "And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and he's the father of it." So all liars are the children of the father of lies, who is the devil. That's right. All sinners are the children of the father of sin, who is the devil. All fornicators, all adulterers, all whatever, you fill in the blank. And that's what he means by "you are of your father, the devil." Verse 48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you have a devil?" See, it's getting dirty. They're trying to trump what he just said about your daddy's the devil. They said, "Well, you're a Samaritan." which is, if you could take an ethnic or a racial slur today and throw one at somebody, don't do that. That causes trouble. But that's what they just did to him. They said, "You're a Samaritan." And that's what they've been doing since they were little kids. When they wanted to really hurt somebody and they had run out of rational intellectual argument and they weren't big enough to handle the fight physically, they said, "You're a Samaritan." Which is comparable to calling somebody whatever your racist tendencies would lead you into today. You're a Samaritan and you have a devil. And they're taught, the whole conversation is about fatherhood, about paternity. Jesus is telling them about God the Father. And they're telling him Abraham is our father. And then they're down in the dirt and they're fighting about the business. Jesus, verse 49, Jesus answered, "I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me." Verse 52, then the Jews said unto him, "Now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." And this is where he drops the bomb in the middle of their crowd, and he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so we're touching on fatherhood as pertaining to ancestry, spiritual nature, legitimacy, heritage, and it's quite a debate. It can have to do with your ancestry, your immediate parentage, your spiritual progenitor, the influencer of the spirit in your life. It could be the devil. It could be God. And you understand in this passage in the scripture, the whole discussion of fatherhood turns into a debate. Now, all your relationships in your life are constructs that are created by God in order that you might live out, and through living out these relationships, better understand God's calling of you into a relationship with Him. We have a very complex and varied relationship with God. God is our friend. Have you sung that song or have you talked to Him? How many of you feel like God's your friend? Praise God. Anybody here had the Holy Ghost teach you? God's been your teacher. That's another relationship. God's been our Savior and our Redeemer. Well, praise God. He better be. He better be. And He's a brother. He's our elder brother. Praise God. The Word of God declares that He is our elder brother. But Father is used most often to frame our relationship with Him. You start in the book of Matthew, and by the time you get to the Beatitudes, you've got your Father, which is in heaven, not like your Father, which is in heaven. Be like your Father, which is in heaven. And it's like a drumbeat that starts in Matthew, moves all the way through the Gospels and on down through the epistles and into the book of Revelation. And somebody say, God is my Father. Praise God. Your Father relationship is profound and it's complex and it's profound and complex if you have one, and it's profound and complex if you don't. In the natural of life, in the spirit, whether you have one or you don't have one, if you have a good one or you have a dysfunctional one, that relationship with Father is profound and it's complex. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. It is, matter of fact, the greatest predictor of dysfunctional behavior. The absence of a father in your life is the greatest predictor of social or familial dysfunction. Let me throw a few things at you. This is from the National Fatherhood Initiative. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school than their classmates who live with two parents. Let me stop and give you a disclaimer. If you're a single mom and you're making it happen in your house all by yourself, let me tell you this, that all bets are off when you come under the canopy of God. And the word of God declares, if my mother and my father forsake me, then God will take me up. I don't want to start into this without giving you that disclaimer, because when you bring your life before God, whatever condition you're in, God will begin to work with you there. And I'm about to give you some scary statistics, but those statistics are only outside the covenant of God. You get those babies into covenant with God. You let God be the father over that house. You let God be the father over that life. All bets are off. So fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school than their classmates who live with two parents unless they have God as their father. All right, so you read that into every one of these I'm going to give you, because these are scary. 72% of all teenage murderers grew up without fathers. Fatherless children are 11 times, that's 1,100% more likely than children from intact families to exhibit violent behavior. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from fatherless homes. That's 8 out of 10. 70% of kids now incarcerated in juvenile correction facilities grew up in single-parent environments. 3 out of 4 teen suicides occur in single-parent families. Compared to girls raised in homes where both parents are present, the daughters of single parents are 164% more likely to become pregnant before marriage. Compared to girls raised in homes where both parents are present, 53% are more likely to marry as teenagers. I want to impress you this morning with the idea of how powerful a father is in your house and in your life. If you're a father, this needs to rise up inside of you. And no matter what your culture's telling you, no matter what your world is telling you, your job as a father is the most important social, spiritual job that you'll ever have. We're on the rocks as a culture because the family, which is the basic building unit of our culture, is being torn apart by government subsidies and Hollywood movies and pulpits that are silent, that won't talk about sin and won't require people to face up to the reality of the Word of God. Praise God. Compared to girls raised in homes where both parents are present, 92% are more likely to dissolve their own marriages. 9 out of 10. If you're raised in a home without a dad, 9 out of 10 of you are going to end up in divorce court. The absence of biological father increases by 900%. A daughter's vulnerability to rape and sexual abuse. Often these assaults are committed by stepfathers or boyfriends of custodial mothers. Let me stop for just a second. Mom, if you got babies in that house, you need God. You need those babies. You need the Holy Ghost. You need all kinds of things, but you don't necessarily need a man. The only man you need is a godly man, a man that comes from God. And you got to know him before you bring him into that house. You better know him before you bring him into that house. You're feeling desperate and you're feeling alone, but let me tell you, God can fill every need in your life. I said, God can fill every need in your life. Children whose fathers are absent consistently score lower. In reading and math tests, children who live apart from their fathers experience more accidents and a higher rate of asthma and headaches and speech defects. We're talking about something here that's beyond the rational now. It's slipped over into the spiritual. And spiritual is primary, and so it is causative concerning these dysfunctions and these maladies. Department of Justice. This is the Federal Department of Justice. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway youths are from fatherless homes. 85% of children, I'm just telling you how important your job is, Dad. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes, and the divorce lawyers and the pop psychologists and the weak-kneed quasi-Christian pastors will tell you, oh, divorce won't hurt the children. The children are resilient. They'll bounce back from the divorce. Children who live apart from their fathers experience more of every negative thing that society has to offer. 85% of children from fatherless homes exhibit behavioral disorders. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 70% of youths in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers are from fatherless homes. This is like a drumbeat. It's like a mantra. You name the poison and at the end of it say fatherless homes. You name the trouble and at the end of it say dad's not around. You name the demonic activity, the dysfunctional activity, and at the end say, dad doesn't know how important his job is. Society's told him one thing. The devil's told him something else. But I want you to know this idea of father was something that was created by God to give you a little window into understanding a relationship with God Almighty who lives forever and who made you. And without that, you not only are dysfunctional in life, but you have a hard time seeing God. I'll come down to this altar sometime, and I'll get ready to lay my hand on some lady or some young lady to pray for them that they receive the Holy Ghost. But I'll get a check in my Holy Ghost, and I'll get a lady to come pray for them. Because in the middle of that heart and that spirit, there's this tension about men. And there's this tightness and this resistance about men. They've seen a lot of trouble. But down at the bottom of the pile, there was a daddy that was absent. There was a daddy that wasn't available. There was a daddy that walked away. There was a home that fell apart. Anorexia, bulimia, food disorders. How in the world would you draw a rational line from that to absentee fathers? But it's there in all the statistics. What are they trying to fill up? What are they trying to satisfy? Fatherlessness will leave a void in you that nothing can fill. 85% of rapists are motivated by displaced anger, and they're from fatherless homes. David Blankenhorn, fatherlessness is the most destructive trend in our generation. I never thought I'd be quoting Al Gore. Al Gore, you might just dismiss this. Al says that absent fathers are behind most social woes. Well, gee, Al. I thought he was going to say behind global warming, but the FBI says that a missing father is more reliable predictor of criminal activity than race, environment, or poverty. He's like that because of his race. He's like that because he didn't have a dad in the home. He's like that because of his poverty. There's poor people that ascend to incredible places. Poverty has always produced champions in our culture. It wasn't poverty, but it's the lack of a dad in the home that's the predictor of that criminal activity, more than environment, more than anything else. National Center on Health Statistics, 200%. A child living with a divorced mother is twice as likely as a child living with both parents to repeat a grade, contract anemia, suffer from intestinal distress, bedwetting, and stuttering. It's all twisted up, that parental connection and that spiritual component. And that physical life, all connected together. You need a dad in the home. And if you're in the home, you need to be a dad. You need to be a father. You need to take up the mantle of your God-given authority. Those babies need a father. Our country needs some fathers. Our church, our church is no stronger than the families in our church, and our families are never going to be any stronger than the Father does. The Father can't lead by emotion. Father can't lead by ups and downs and hormonal activity. A Father's got to lead by principle and by strength. Come on. You're made in the image of God. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Everything's riding on your shoulders. Matriarchal families produce great people. It happens, but it's the exception. What I'm giving you is the rule. The rule is, without a dad in the home, calamity is at the door. Johns Hopkins, 60% of young white teenage girls living in fatherless homes were 60% more likely to have premarital intercourse than those living in two-parent homes. Lauren Motion, the absence of a father is a stronger factor than poverty in contributing to juvenile delinquency. Yale states that crime rates were highest among adults who as children had been raised solely by women. A father's presence in conversation, especially at dinner time, stimulates a child to perform better at school. A study of 7,000 women working in topless bars and strip clubs, most of these women conceded that they were probably looking for the male attention that they never got during their childhood. Take that little girl on the side and tell her she's the most wonderful thing in the world. Take that daughter on the side and tell her how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how awesome she is. I don't care what kind of day you had. I don't care what the financial stress is like. Somebody needs you. You've got a job. God's called you to a ministry there. You got to fill that need. An emotionally or physically absent father contributes to a child's low motivation for achievement, inability to defer immediate gratification, low self-esteem, susceptibility to group influence, and juvenile delinquency, substance abuse, alcoholism, violent crime, prison time. Every negative in social dysfunction is associated with fatherlessness. Absentee father. Invisible father. And our culture is celebrating ideas like, oh, that's my baby's daddy. We're rotting on the inside, as did Rome, as did Greece before them. And it won't be an external marching army. And it won't be the Huns at the door. But it'll be the rot on the inside that destroys this nation. But we're not talking about impact on the world right now. We're just talking about impact on your house and on your family and in your life. Praise God. Just talking about your father. The good news is that this is not an absolute. The good news is that you can escape the influence of your father. Woo! Now, some of you, you can't even relate to that because you had a good dad. But some of us are going, hallelujah. Some of you moms are saying, yes, tell me more. You can escape your earthly father. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, a man shall leave his mother and his father. There's a biblical mandate about you detaching from your father. The word of God opens up the door and says you can get some separation there between you and your father. You're not connected at the hip forever. Somebody say praise the Lord. Luke 14, Jesus says, if you don't hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brother and yea, even your own life, you can't be my disciple. I want to pull that back into, if you want to be a disciple of God, you've got to get some separation from your father. Now, he's not talking about hate like the world would hate. He's just saying when it comes down to choices, you've got to choose God over the tradition of your dad. You've got to choose God over the way of your mom. You've got to choose God over hurting the feelings of you. Are you understanding me? Does that make sense to you? When you get back into the heart of that, that simply means that I've got to choose God over my earthly father. That means as I'm living for God, I get some separation between myself and whatever my earthly father was. Well, praise God. I got good news for you. Ezekiel chapter 18, wonderful passage on repentance, probably a defining passage in the Word of God on repentance, but there's something here pertinent to what we're discussing this morning. Ezekiel chapter 18 and beginning in verse 19, yet ye say, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? Because they thought, like our culture thinks today, if your father's an alcoholic, you're going to be an alcoholic. If your dad's a loser, you're going to be a loser. Whatever was in that generation before. And can I stop for a minute and tell you, don't talk to me about generational curses. Because there's not a curse among men under the heavens of God that can get through the blood of Calvary. Let me tell you about generational curses. You might live without God and suffer from a generational curse. But when I went down in the water in Jesus' name, and when I came up covered by the blood, the curses of the past went down and they're not coming up. Everybody say, that's the old man. Get with me today now. I'm not disrespecting your dad. I don't have anything negative to say about anybody. I'm calling our dads to rise up and meet the expectation of God. I'm calling you to realize how important it is. And if you had a dad that was a bust, I want to tell you right now that he's not going to be a boat anchor on your life unless you let him. Yet you say, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. God's telling you right now. God wants you to know and to understand that he is going to let a son be judged by what the son does, and a father be judged by what a father does. I know what the statistics say, but now we're coming into the covenant of the living God. And the living God says, I'm not going to judge that boy by what his dad did. And I'm not going to judge the dad by what his son did. That means you can walk in righteousness and have a dad that was a loser in God. You can walk in righteousness and have a son that walks off into hell. Now that's what the Word of God says. The soul that sins, it shall die, or it shall bear its own responsibility. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Praise God. Anybody that needs to praise him right now, you praise him. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. I'm not asking you to throw stones at your dad. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't have a chance. I don't know what happened with him, but I praise God today. That the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. You tell the devil to take a hike. If your kids are backslidden right now, and you know in your heart you've done everything you could do, you've lived for God, you've been faithful, I'm not saying they won't come back. I'm just telling you the Word of God said you're not going to be judged for a knothead kid that's not living for God the way they should. And Church of the Living God, give a man, give a woman a break. Don't be looking over their shoulder saying, well, there must be something wrong with them if their kids are backslidden. My God, I'll make a deal with you. I'll help you save yours. You help me save mine. My God, mine are out of those teenage years and they're married now and I'm shouting the victory. But there were some days where I didn't know what the end of the story was going to be. All I can say, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side. Now let all the people say, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side. My God. Everybody with teenagers just say, help me. Yeah, praise God. But the word of the Lord to you is, the Father's not judged because of the Son, nor the Son because of the Father. And the implication here is that you're doing right. You're walking by the statutes. He gave you the qualifications there. Has kept all my statutes. Has done that which is lawful. That's the construct by which this passage of Scripture works. But if the wicked turn from all his sins that he hath committed, verse 21, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. That is good news. That's good news for people in the day of Moses. That's good news for us. My God, are you glad there's some things in your past that God's not going to mention? They're under the blood. God said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The devil may bring them up. Your friends, your family may bring them up. But all you need to do is say, I can't hear you. That's under the blood. God's not going to judge me for that. Praise God. In his righteousness that he hath done, shall he live. Verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. Praise God. Hello, my name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the son of an alcoholic. And the culture says, well, poor Bob, he can't help it. But he can. And it's all in Bob's hands. It's in your court, Bob. Well, what about the profound and complex impact of my father? Well, there's this profound and complex Word of God that says you can cut loose from that, and you don't have to be like you. You should have been able to look to him for example. You should have been able to follow in his footsteps. You should have had him cradle you in your arms and build you into the man or woman that you should have been. But if it didn't work out that way, there is a God in the heavens who has promised that he will be your father. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Praise God. Praise God. If I could show you today, but I won't because of the time, but I have a deformity. I could have been a great guitarist. But my little fingers are crooked. I know it's all right. I'm okay with it now. I've gotten over it. But Ashley's fingers do the same thing. Ashley's fingers are crooked on top of her little fingers. And Taylor's little fingers are crooked on the end. And Troy Sutton's fingers were crooked on the ends. My dad, who I look in the mirror and I go, oh, he's back. And I have to, oh, it's just me. And I would almost guarantee you that old man Ed Sutton's fingers were crooked like that. And you don't even want to know about old man Ed, an outlaw farmer in Oklahoma that wore a gun and shot people. I won't tell you about when my mom laid him out with a fireplace poker. See, the blood covers all kinds of things. You don't know what's down inside, folks. I talk about generational curses. I can talk about them with you. But I stood at 15 in the churchyard of the Baptist church where I was raised, and there was this heavy Louisiana thunderstorm. It's tropical there. When it rains, the bottom just drops out. And the water was over my shoes. And it's at the funeral, and at that, you know, you just don't care. Everybody's like drowned rats. The water's over my shoes. People are outside the little tent there. It's not big enough for everybody. I'm standing on the outside there. The preacher's talking. And they're burying this guy, who was my dad. And I'm 15 years old. And as they're burying him, I have never heard him say, you're a good son. I've never heard him say, I love you. I've never heard him say, come pray with me, son. I've never heard him say, let's me and you go to the church. I've never heard him say, let's go play ball. Now, this is not a sad story for sad story effect. This is a happy story. Because even though I look like him, and even though his gene pool is in me, and that thing passes on, even though that's in me. I made a decision. He casts a shadow, but I'm going to stand in the light of day. Oh, yeah, I can still hear him sometimes. I don't know what you hear, but I can still hear him sometimes. Derogatory things or negative things or caustic things. I can hear all that, but I choose to hear other things. I choose to hear a God in the heavens who says, I love you so much, I'm going to put on a robe of flesh and come down. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. You see, it's a matter of will and choice. This business of Father is complex and it's profound, but it's not final and it's not fatal and it's not necessary. It ain't necessarily so. Praise God. And I made a decision that I'm going to get lots of smooches and that I'm going to have lots of I love yous. And I'm going to, we could get real smarmy right now. We could. But we're kind of insulated against smarmy, so we're not going there. It's a choice. It's not a curse. It's not a predestined thing. It's not something written in stone that will fulfill itself in your life beyond your control. You say, well, that's all I know. We'll learn something else. Well, that's the only way I know how to have relationships. Well, get in the Word of God and learn how to have relationships God's way. Well, that's the only spirit I know how to walk with. Well, get full of the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in the kingdom of God. You don't have to walk in drug or substance abuse. You don't have to be an abuser of women and children. You don't have to be an abuser of your own body and of your own life. You don't have to have a hard attitude and a hard word for everybody. I'm just telling you, it's a matter of choice. What do you want to do? Are you mad about that bad example? Yes, I am. Are you mad about that lack of love? Yes, I am. Are you angry about the negative things that were perpetrated against you? Yes, I am. Well, why don't you do something about it and choose another way to live? I choose to live for God. I choose to say, I love you. I choose to let it be covered by the blood. My God, clap your hands and lift your voice and magnify the name of the Lord. I don't do this. I don't go long. I don't go afternoon, but if you got a date with your dad and you got to go, I want you to go. But I'm going to keep you for just a little bit. Not going to be long. Give somebody a high five and say, I choose to do better. Say, I'm not going to be defined by the negatives in my life. Say, I'm not going to live under the shadow of somebody else's bad behavior. My God, you need to get an attitude about that. Did you like it when it was going on? No. Well, then why are you letting it control your life right now? Brother Sutton, you don't know. I was living through hell. Well, walk on through it, brother. Get on out of it, sister. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't put down your mailbox and take up residence there. Look around. There's a better world. There's a better life. There are better choices. There is joy to be had. There is good in this world. My God, you can be a part of it. Are you okay? Happy Father's Day. You can escape from your earthly father. And if your father was the devil, and for some of us it was just exactly like the Pharisees, you can escape from him. Well, praise God. Oh, you ought to shout a little bit for that. The devil didn't give it to me. And the devil can't take it away. The devil, I won't let him define my life. Well, you don't understand how bad I feel. Well, you feel based on what you do. Feelings follow actions. You got to do. Well, I would do better if I felt better. You know, you're backwards. You feel better when you do better. You start doing better, you start feeling better. And at least even if you don't start feeling better, you're doing better and somebody else is going to feel better. And that's worth a lot. Psalms 139. Everybody say, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. My God, my earthly father didn't know me, never wanted to know me, but I've got a God that knew me from my mother's womb, who watched me when I walked by myself. He was with me in every difficult place I ever walked in my life. My God, I've got a father that'll never leave me. Verse 2, you know my down sitting and my uprising. He's been watching me all the days of my life. Don't mind these folks that are leaving. I gave them permission. God bless. Happy Father's Day. I mean, I'm infringing on people's schedule here. I know. And thou understandest my thought afar off. My God, he knows what I'm thinking. I never had a dad I could talk to. I never had a dad I could sit down and have a heart to heart with. I never had a counselor. I never had an advisor. I never had anybody to lead me like a dad ought to lead me. But I'm reading in this book right now. I want you to know you can get away from your earthly dad, but let me shock you right now. You cannot get away from this heavenly father. I want to tell you that again. You can't get away from this heavenly father. You can run to the ends of the earth, but you can't get away from him. And when you get where you're going, you need to realize he knows how you feel. He knows what you think. He's never going to leave you. You can deny him. He'll never deny you. You can go cold and silent on him. He's always reaching for you. You can pass my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. He knows me better than I know myself. There's not a word, verse 4, in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. He knows about my past. He knows about my future. But he still put his hand on me. He doesn't mind being associated with me. He's the friend of sinners. Publicans, thou such knowledge, verse 6, is too wonderful for me. This is blowing my mind. How good you are, oh God. How caring you are, oh God. How available you are, oh God. Any hour of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm just up out of bed, staggering through. I speak his name and he's there. Praise God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? That's a rhetorical. You can't get away from it. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ran away from God. You were never away from God. You were away from doing the things that please God in his service. But you can't get away from God. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Verse 8. If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, he's there. You can die lost. And as you step over the edge and down into the pit, God is right there with you. Oh, you got to get a hold of this. He is everywhere. The devil's telling you, your fear's telling you, your disappointment in your earthly father is driving you to separate yourself from God. Your negative experiences with men are driving you to separate yourself from God, because that relationship in the natural was supposed to be a relationship that opened a window to understand your relationship with God. But when it gets twisted, it twists your relationship with God and with authority. And it's hard for you to embrace those things and to walk comfortably in those places. And you find yourself wanting to break away and leave it all. all, but I want you to know something right now. You can leave that earthly father. You can bury the memories and you can get out from under the shadow, but you can't leave this earthly father. This heavenly father, he's going to be with you every day of your life and down into eternity. I'm telling you, he's with you. You might as well do business with him. I'm telling you, he's with you. You can't shake him. You might as well join up. I'm telling you, he's with you. He cares about you. You might as well shake off those negative things from before. And you ought to embrace him. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, would you say, even there, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You can't hide from this love of God, because he is everything that that natural father should have been. He created the construct of that relationship. And when we look at him, he is everything that that natural relationship should have been. Dads, you want to know how to be a father? Take a good long look in that word of God. Follow the steps of Jesus Christ. Read this 139th Psalm. That tells you what a father is by biblical definition. Praise God. God is what your earthly father should have been to you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. The irony of this is, now, if you've had a bad earthly experience, sometimes that relationship system gets twisted. And so it makes you resistant or unbelieving that the power of God can actually save you or transform you. Or somehow it rises back up and it begins to pound you down and you think you've lost access to God. You have not lost access to God. That blinding influence of your earthly experience is coming back down over your soul. But let me challenge you right now. Don't run from him. Run to him. Don't get distance. Don't try to get distance. It's like Adam hiding in the bushes. He thinks he's hidden from God, but he's not. God's right there. You think you're separating from God, but you're not. You're just separating from the things that define you as a child of God that will bring the good stuff into your life. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. The darkness is light around me. Verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For you have possessed my reins, my innermost man, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. Praise God. Praise God. Could we all gather down around the altar tonight, this morning? Would you do that? Could we all just come? I want you, if you're a guest, to come with us. If you're backslidden in your heart, I want you to come with us. Praise God. Praise God. If you've got your family here, get with your family. If your dad's here, get with your dad. If he's not, come position yourself under the strong arm of your heavenly Father. Could we just begin to pray? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it'd be a great morning to receive the Holy Ghost. Come on down a little closer. Make room. There's people behind you there. They want to come down here close. If you've never been down in the water, in Jesus' name, when you go down in the water, the blood covers all that that's in the past. Come on, let's begin to pray. You're here. You're not waiting on anything else. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you big strong men. Hug your daddy up here. Yeah. That's right. Praise God. Brother Ronnie, you don't have a dad here. Adopt you one there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you'll just begin to praise him right now, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Today doesn't have to be like what's been before. Today's a brand new day, a brand new father, a brand new anointing. Hallelujah. If you're a single mom, you need to run under the shelter of His Holy Ghost this morning. Those statistics are true, but they're not true for you. You've got the strength, the brawn of a heavenly Father on your side and in your corner. Hallelujah. Shout.